Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Happy Thursday, Cleveland. We are still awaiting a decision, and something tells me going to be awaiting one for a while. We have a lot of things to get to. Well, we're going to talk about the Guardians later, and something tells me we will be talking about them. That would be my eyes. My eyes are going to tell me we're going to be talking about them. And again, we wait the decision of LeBron. We're going to continue to wait, but there's things to talk about in the meantime that surround it. And we even have some Browns sprinkled into this, the show tonight. We haven't talked a lot about them this week. They've been a little bit on the back burner, but I have some, I think, relatively fair questions that should be asked, and we are going to get to those. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime from 7 to 11. We have running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s. Do work behind the glass. Our Swiss Army Knife, Michael Markoch, with us tonight. I do want to start in the LeBron sphere today, but not directly attached to it, right? There was so much more conversation beyond that, and obviously currently with the Cavs. And one thing gets brought up today, and I think there's elements to this that are at least objective, and then there's elements to this that make me think it's one of the most outrageous things I've heard. I want to play you Anthony Lima this morning on with Ken, talking about how he feels maybe Cleveland being a little unfair to Donovan Mitchell.
I have to say, it seems like Clevelanders are being the most unfair that I can remember them being towards an athlete.
And but Donovan?
Yes, and here's what I mean by that. Like, ooh, the general malaise over the basketball team that we felt this year for, again, yet another year where he was a top 10, top 12, whatever you want to call it, player in the NBA. He's been that good. He's completely raised the floor of a Cleveland sports team. You're not going to have a bad Cleveland team that involves Donovan Mitchell, at least as long as he's close to his prime. It's not going to happen. He guarantees you all these exciting moments, even during the malaise. He still has these incredible moments. Then, come playoff time, has he not had some of the biggest playoff moments?
Right.
And he had 39 points and a half, did he not? Like, yeah, that just doesn't happen. You can't just create guys like that in a lab. And yet, seems to me, nobody really seems to care all that much. Like, he's been drama-free.
And there's things, again, that are true to this. Like, Donovan has been drama-free. Donovan is incredible. What I don't get in this conversation is why I cannot have an appropriate respect and appreciation for Donovan and also continue to criticize him and be honest about what I'm seeing. Like, there is more to this than just, you know, I'm being mean to Donovan. And I don't think anybody's come out of here with pitchforks and torches saying, get Donovan out of our city. He's not good enough. He can't do this. Trade him, trade him, trade him. Like, we have not had conversation on this station, which is, do the Cavs need to be looking to shop Donovan Mitchell? Do one sit? Like, we don't do that because it's ridiculous. Again, did we have a conversation about Jaylen Brown? Would I rather move Donovan? This is obviously the past tense because Jaylen Brown's now a 76er. But I have rather moved Donovan than Evan Mobley for Jaylen Brown. Yeah, that's so much more about fit than it is about Donovan himself. But the reality of the situation is that Donovan is incredible. Yes, he is a top 12-plus player in the NBA. You can say 10, you can say 8, wherever you really want to place him. I think it's somewhere in 10 to 12. He is that. That's exactly what he is. He is incredible. He is one of the purest scorers existing in the NBA today. There is no question about it. He can do incredible things with the basketball in his hands. I also don't think Donovan Mitchell can be the leader on a team that is not specifically built around his deficiencies, which the Cavs are not right now. And they have no ability to get to that way. Like, what is unfair about the way that we've treated Donovan? I hardly ever hear, I don't want to say negative words, because we certainly, it's not all positive talk about Donovan, but where have we been unfairly negative towards Donovan Mitchell? I can sit here right now and tell you that the way that I criticize Donovan has nothing to do with his ability as a player. It has nothing to do with the capability of what he does on the floor. It is the decisions he makes and what he doesn't do. And the most infuriating part of all of it is that I know Donovan is capable of it. I hold you to a higher standard. You're the leader of a team. You're the guy at the very top. You're held to a standard. And when the guys who are at the top of the teams, the guys who are considered the face of the franchise in this city, are held to that standard, the guys who don't get criticized, LeBron, Nick Chubb, Jose Ramirez, because they live up to it. Again, oh, you're never going to have a bad team with Donovan Mitchell on it. Yeah, welcome to the NBA. Like, I don't think giving Donovan doesn't guarantee you a championship. Does it guarantee you into the playoffs? Yeah, it does. I don't know when that all of a sudden was the benchmark for us to reach. I don't think Donovan got here and all of us were like, thank God. Woo! Now we're going to be a playoff team. That's all we were hoping for. Donovan, you take as much money as you want. You do whatever you want. You just sit there calmly. You don't have to worry about a thing. We get to the playoffs every year and we're happy. No fan base is happy with that. We expect more. We want more. The way they've built up this team, the way they've talked about the other players on this team. You want more. This team expects a championship. The fan base, in turn, expects a championship. That's what you're playing for. And you have fallen short of that. And it's not the fact that, oh, well, nobody's happy with the team being good. It's nobody happy with the team playing the way they're supposed to, with Donovan not living up to the expectations of what he's supposed to. Donovan is a fantastic player. Again, I want to make that very clear. This is not a trash Donovan segment. Donovan is great. But I turned into every single playoff series, and I have watched the teams that he is the leader for. He is the guy in charge of. He is the face of the franchise. And I have watched them fall short in every single postseason run that they've gone on. How many times have you just looked at the Cavs and gone, well, they just lost to a team they were supposed to lose to? I'll give you Boston a couple of years ago. Shouldn't have lost to Indiana on paper. Shouldn't have lost to, I should have been pushed 7 games. You can argue whether or not they should have lost to New York on paper. They shouldn't have been pushed 7 games by the Raptors or the Pistons. You shouldn't have been pushed 7 games by the Orlando Magic. And would you have been competitive with the, you know, the Knicks in a fully rested teams right there series? You might have been. Like, had this series in the, you know, Eastern Conference Finals gone 6 games and the Cavs looked like they were battling, yeah, I think some of us walk away disappointed, but I don't think we get the criticism towards Donovan that we have. It is a guy who did not feel like he had his legs under him. It is a guy who did not live up to the expectations that he has previously set for himself in the playoffs. And it is a team that was pushed to the brink 7 games, partially because of Donovan's just lack of capability to rise to the moment. And they have fallen short. They have made it difficult on themselves every step of the way. You don't get just absorbed of criticism in this town. There are very few people who get to that level. And the people who have earned it on that level. 1,000% came to that. I mean, a lot of the guys who do that typically tend to be either essentially the prophecy in LeBron James, which was just never going to be heavily criticized in this town unless he was just absolute garbage, which, hey, newsflash, he wasn't. And then guys who walk around quietly and do their business. I think part of the reason we look around and you say, oh, well, you know, there's guys who have been worse than Donovan, who have been treated better. Those players have been likable. And I think the ones that we talk about that are just free of criticism that have existed in this city, Jose Ramirez. I mean, Jose basically doesn't sit there and say, Jose probably speaks a little English. Let's just be real about it. We know Jose speaks a little English, but he doesn't talk to the media. You tell me the worst Jose Ramirez quote you've ever heard. You probably don't have one. Nick Chubb gets that same type of treatment. Tell me the worst Nick Chubb quote you can think of, the one that bothers you the most. I don't have one. I don't imagine everybody else does. Right? There are things that Donovan has said that not necessarily rubbed you the wrong way, but you don't like how he's handled the press conferences in the postseason. It is just a, hey, everything's going great. We're happy where we're at. We're not playing good enough. But it's a lack of accountability. There are so many things that Donovan doesn't take account for. Never seen somebody treated more unfairly. I'm sorry, did Myles Garrett not just walk around this city for the last, 9 years? Did I miss that part of it? He is the single best player to ever play his position. And I think for probably the last 4 to 5 years, and listen, Myles created some of his own controversy, obviously speeding, his car wreck, requesting a trade certainly by the end of it. But even before then, like, we criticized Myles. Myles was putting up sack numbers, and the only conversation we had was that he was too selfish. He wasn't focused on team goals, but his individual accomplishments. Again, that is the individually best player we have ever seen play that position. Certainly in this city, best defensive player we've ever seen in this city. And very well might be the best player at that position to ever have walked the earth. And Miles got criticized left and right. People wanted to trade Miles. Donovan's not being treated unfairly. Donovan is being criticized because of the lack of what he's been able to accomplish. I'm sorry, every single time I watch a playoff game, and it's not like I just jumped on a bandwagon of, you know, walking away and saying, really need to think about whether or not Donovan can lead this team. We've been doing this for like 3 years straight. Every time I walk away from a Cavs playoff series, I go, Donovan doesn't get other guys involved. He's constantly thinking about himself. He's not a closer. He's not a clutch guy in the fourth. Like, and those live true. Every single playoff series that I end up walking into and I walk out of, I go, Donovan didn't get everybody else involved. Donovan wasn't putting up points to not get everybody else involved. And even when he was, like, he's not doing the things responsible of the leadership of the team. The team that he leads ends up playing soft. The team that he leads does not rise to the moment. I don't know where all of a sudden you can't have love for a player and also be critical of a player. Like, it would make sense to me if this entire offseason was about whether or not Donovan Mitchell could be on this team. We didn't really have conversations about moving on from Donovan. The Cavs aren't having conversations about moving on from Donovan. I think most of the people in this city still like Donovan, want him to be on the team. Doesn't mean you don't need help. I've been proven for a full decade of Donovan's career that the farthest I'm ever going now is the conference finals. And I'm not winning a game. I'm not winning conference finals games with Donovan as my leader. And this team is getting worse. They're not getting better. You have to find a way to improve. You need a big, you know, a portion of help directly next to Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, go get me that help. Donovan can't do it on his own. He can't do it with the help that he has here. And the Cavs don't have a way to get better in the, you know, fringe pieces without going and getting a guy like LeBron. Like, some guys just don't have that capability. Some people have to face the hard facts. Donovan is one of the players that has to face the hard facts. You don't get a team built around you like Jalen Brunson had a team built around him that is stacked with defensive players, stacked with wings, stacked with second and third options. You can't do it. Like, it is a simple fact. It will not happen. I don't think that's unfair. Again, I want Donovan to win a championship here. I think it'd be great. If it takes LeBron to do that, so be it. I think Donovan deserves to be an NBA champion. I think he puts in the work. But at the exact same time, I don't want to watch Donovan do it all by himself again because I know the result. 216-474-0092. Is Donovan Mitchell treated unfairly in Cleveland? And do you think that some of that might have to do with LeBron? Plus, a lot of good stuff coming up for you guys here. Later in the show, 740, the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today. That's coming your way with the Station Buzz. We're going to continue some Cavs talk into the 8 o'clock hour. We're also going to talk a little bit of the Browns. Deshaun back practicing. We talked about that a little earlier in the week. We'll touch on that more. Plus, we meant to get to it, I think, on Tuesday. A quote that Mary Kay Cabot had earlier in the week that we're going to wrap back to. Get a Grip's coming your way at 9 o'clock. We'll talk about Denzel Ward following that. We have Guardians reaction as they get ready, currently taking on the Chicago White Sox out at Progressive Field. A 4-game set, a very important one at that. Plus, we're going to get Michael in the show later on in the 10 o'clock hour for another edition of Change Your Mind. And we're going to wrap things up with a fun conversation at the end of the show. But right now, 216-474-0092. Is Donovan Mitchell treated unfairly in Cleveland? I don't think there's a chance. Plus, as well as your guys' calls coming up here in 5 minutes, if LeBron actually ends up here, is there any question to whether or not he's the number one option? We're going to get into that again coming up here in 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. We're asking you 216-474-0092. Do you feel that Donovan Mitchell is treated unfairly in Cleveland? And part of the argument to bolster on this is the idea that everybody gets untreated and is held to a higher standard because of LeBron.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Like, which I, by the way, just don't agree with whatsoever. Like, yeah, has LeBron set expectations high of what a player can be and what the best player in basketball looks like? Yeah, but I also don't think Cleveland fans are dumb. I don't think we all look around and we're like, Donovan's not LeBron, right? Couldn't imagine. How did this happen? Now, we all know LeBron is LeBron. Like, he is a one-of-one player. You are not expecting more than from Donovan Mitchell than you'd get out of LeBron. You're not expecting the same things. Doesn't mean you can you can't expect more than what you're getting out of Donovan right now. You should be getting more out of Donovan. Right? I'm sorry, but when I look around the NBA and I see everybody else, I mean, didn't James Harden play more minutes than him in this playoffs? If not, it was darn close, but I think it was more. That is a guy who is about to be 37 years old, who is outplaying Donovan in minutes, who wasn't even 30. Like, that can't happen. I wouldn't say he was outperforming him in those minutes, but he was on the floor for longer, and the guy was on the team for 20-something days, or 20-something games, I should say. He got 2.5 months for the playoffs. It's just, I can expect more. I can expect a higher level of effort on defense. I can expect you to realize that when it comes to winning games in the playoffs, you have to play defense. And Donovan was not locked in on defense. There was not enough attention to detail. And there are things that are limited by Donovan's game. Part of that, what is holding him back? Right? There's just things that as an undersized guard, you're not going to be the greatest defender in the world. You can guard a point guard, but a lot of times Donovan isn't even asked to do that. Actually, I mean, with the lineup that you've seen him out there, most of the times he is asked to guard the one or the two. But still, like I can give a little leeway to that, but Donovan is a capable defender if he wants to be on guys that it makes sense. Like, is he going to guard Shea well? No, he's not going to guard Shea well. Shea is 6'6". That's going to be a difficult matchup. Could he guard Jalen Brunson? He sure as hell could. And I'm just not getting the return on the other side. Like, I need somebody who's going to be the leader. If you're going to sit there and play alongside Darius Garland and be ball dominant, if you're going to sit there and play alongside James Harden and be ball dominant, then you have to know how to get everybody else involved into the game. You have to have everybody raised to a higher standard. And instead, what we have watched is a team that has crumbled in the face of adversity. I mean, every single time they have faced it, every time you get to the playoffs, the Cavs go down a notch. Well, the rest of the NBA takes it up a notch. In what way is that unfair criticism? Just not a team that knows how to play in the playoffs. And when you're the leader, that gets attached to you. When there are things that I can sit here as not a basketball savant, right? I understand the sport. I watch it. I understand it at a high enough level. But I am no basketball messiah. And I can sit there and go, well, Donovan could be doing this better. He can get his teammates involved. He can pass when he drives to the lane. He can get everybody else going, and Donovan can still score on a whim. He can do it whenever he wants. But then somehow you can't do it when the fourth quarter turns around. He's just not a clutch player. I think you've seen that by the way they have addressed the team. But I shouldn't be walking away from games going, oh, Donovan Mitchell, yeah, he had a 39-point second half. Incredible. Again, he can score at the best in the NBA. But then I walk away from, you know, a half in the next game where Donovan's not doing that. I go, Evan Mobley took two shots. Like, how does that happen? How did Evan Mobley take two shots in the entirety of the second half? How did Evan Mobley disappear? Why is Jared Allen not getting shot attempts? Why is Sam Merrill not being passed while he's open at the three-point line? And instead I'm watching Donovan try his windmill crossover or his windmill pickup. I'm watching him try to hit floaters. I'm watching him try to get to the lane and doing so ineffectively. The same thing over and over again. Again, it's okay to need help. I understand that it comes at like the highest possible priority of LeBron, and it feels like you're getting bailed out, and you are getting bailed out. But that's the option you have on the table. If I could have brought something along the way, if I could redo the way that we've seen this roster be constructed, if I could go back and control Kobe Altman and be like, hey, maybe prioritize wings a little bit more. Maybe change up your rotations. Maybe don't stack up a bunch of gritty 6'4 players that like to play defense and shoot the three. I would change it. And I think Donovan would have a better time changing that. But I don't have that realistic possibility. I can't do it this offseason. I'm stuck with what I'm stuck with. And again, yes, he needs help from LeBron. Now, I do think there's a fascinating conversation when it comes to LeBron as well in this. Like, LeBron gets added to this team. There were conversations that we were hearing yesterday that I can't remember even who said it. I think it was Nick Friedell. But that even when you have LeBron, if you were adding him to this team, it was a conversation of even if you added Jaylen Brown to this team, he didn't feel like the Cavs had a number one. And I need to know if LeBron is brought here, who is the number one in your eyes? Because it's pretty clear for me. LeBron might be 42 years old. LeBron might be, you know, having his swan song in the NBA and be on a retirement tour. LeBron is still my number one option. He is the guy who I trust in the big moments. He's who I want to have the ball in his hands. And that doesn't mean I want LeBron taking over in the fourth quarter every single game. That doesn't mean I need LeBron taking every single shot. That doesn't mean I need LeBron dominating at the point of attack. But if I want the ball in somebody's hands, if I am going to have somebody orchestrate the offense, given what I just talked about with Donovan, he doesn't get people involved enough. Given the fact that I watched James Harden in the playoffs not get players involved enough, I know who I can count on to make sure everyone's getting involved. LeBron has done that throughout the entirety of his career while he's had capable players around him. Might be some arguments in those early Cavs days. He wasn't getting everybody involved. And I would say rightfully so. I mean, who was he supposed to throw the ball to in 2007, okay? I would say it's a pretty fair take that if LeBron decided, I'm going to take every shot in this thing, yeah, go ahead and take every shot. All right. Zildjernis Ilgauskas will get A's every once in a while. Everything else is going to be okay. But the reality is, like, if I trust anybody to run, quote-unquote, point guard for this team, but to be the number one, to be the main option, the guy who is going to be the ball-dominant player with it in their hands, if he wants to take the shot, damn it, he can go ahead and take the shot. That's LeBron. Like, reality is that obviously you're going to be running lineups with just James Harden on the floor, just Donovan on the floor, or a combination of James and LeBron. That's a weird paradox that I have to walk into. I'm going to have to start calling him Harden. But with Harden and LeBron on the same floor, like, yeah, again, I want LeBron handling it in the big moments. I want him to be your primary scorer. And he doesn't have to lead the team in scoring. That can still be Donovan. But A needs to come from somewhere else. Like, Donovan has to learn how to play off the ball. I think James Harden, to some degree, probably has to learn how to play off the ball. It is an awkward fit. Like, it is an awkward dynamic to have LeBron around here. Hey, and I said before, I don't think he fixes all your problems. We're having an offensive conversation, but defensively, I don't want LeBron guarding the other team's best player for the entirety of the night. I don't want him to be tasked with that. I think that might have to become an Evan Mobley conversation. I think when it's a guard, you might have to ask Donovan to step up defensively. You might have to ask at times James Harden to step up defensively. But I think that we've learned, again, if the conversation is Donovan can't get it done on his own, I think that's a conversation of Donovan can't get it done as the leader being the number one guy in the team too. And that does come with the responsibility. Like, when we talk about number ones in the NBA, I mean, what, 90 to 95% of them are also guys who are probably leading their team in assists, are very close to that. Like, how many number one options do we see of guys who you don't trust to facilitate? Giannis is one of the few. That's the immediate name that comes to my head. Like, Giannis does not facilitate the offense in Milwaukee. Giannis either gets ahead of steam or gets the ball where he wants it and goes to work. But you look at Shea. Shea's still distributing the ball in Oklahoma City. Wemby's still distributing the ball to some degree, is a clear number one, but he can still play make and facilitate while he's in San Antonio. All of these guys are still guys who get everybody else involved, something Donovan just has not done throughout his career. Like, you go look at the assist numbers, and specifically the assist numbers when you get to the playoffs, they're bad. Like, when you look at a guy who you say you have the ball in your hands, I mean, even 60% of the time, and I'd venture off to say it's probably a higher number than that, Donovan should be bringing in more assists. It's not the fact that he walks around and nobody's been hitting shots all game. It's that Donovan takes over and wants to score. I mean, it's literally embedded in his DNA. I can't live like that anymore. I can't afford to play that game. And I know the ball is going to move with LeBron on the floor. I know that the offense is going to change with LeBron on the floor. Right? Whatever offense we just watched the Cavs go through, which was, I mean, a complete identity crisis and having no clue what they were doing, having, I mean, if you could even say an identity in the playoffs, but two different identities, right? It seemed like for the entirety of the regular season, it was basically, hey, we're going to run the pick and roll. We're going to try to abuse this. We're going to get the bigs involved. You have great pick and roll ball handlers that can score off of getting a mismatch. And that felt like it went away. And as I've pointed to before, teams tried to take that away. They knew the Cavs were going to do that. That doesn't make a difference, though. Like, the fact that the Cavs had their entire offensive game plan altered is as much as a statement as anything I've made on Donovan in the last half hour. I mean, we watched Golden State. I know I'm talking about dynasties, but watch NBA teams. Watch NBA champions. Everybody knew what Golden State was going to do in the run against LeBron every single year where they were in the finals. It was, we're just going to do it better. Try to find a way to stop it. It's not going to work. That should be the way that you are situated with two really good role men and Evan Mobley and Jared Allen and two really good ball handlers in the pick and roll. in James Harden and Donovan Mitchell, it should be try to find a way to stop it. I dare you. I have a million different ways I can score off of this. That's going to be our bread and butter. And it doesn't have to happen every play, but it's going to happen a lot. Like, there were entire halves I went through and I went, did Evan Mobley set a ball screen? Like, did he actually come up to the ball handler and set a screen? Because I didn't see it. There's no way that should happen. But again, your identity changes. LeBron teams have not had stagnant ball movement. I mean, almost at any point in his career. Again, certainly since he went to Miami. The ball moves. You find the open guy. And there's going to be stars. Those players are going to have their moments. But I'm not saying that you're playing, you know, a prime Spurs basketball under Greg Popovich, but you're playing good basketball. I just don't think that can happen with Donovan at the point. Like, I don't think that can happen with Donovan as your primary ball handler. I need a new number one. LeBron coming here, I don't care how old you are my number one option. And you might be closer to a number three, and Donovan might outscore you. There might be, I mean, if Evan takes a step up, somebody, you might not be the primary scorer. But when it comes to, yes, who is going to be the person with all of the decisions to make? That has to be LeBron. Who is going to be the leader of this team? That's going to be LeBron. Like, that is something that I hope Donovan Mitchell has accepted in the idea that LeBron would come here. Something I don't think he should have a very hard time accepting. I think he should welcome with open arms. But it turns into a LeBron team. As much as he didn't want that, as much as he wanted his own era in Cleveland, you got it. And it was good, but a relative disappointment. It was not met with what we wanted. It was not met with the expectations. It was not met by a team who showed up in the playoffs. So I'm not just bringing in change. Like, going and getting LeBron is not the same thing as going and getting Jaylen Brown, or the same thing as going and getting Jonathan Kuminga. And like, oh, we have a wing. It's not like I just got OG Anunoby. It's like, yeah, go play 3 and D. You are changing the identity of your team to bring LeBron in, even if it's for a year. You are changing everything that team knows. And I think that comes from the very top. Everything has to facilitate around LeBron James. I can't trust Donovan to do it. I think I've learned, even though I think there's a step up for James Harden, I think he can be better. I think he will be better. This seems certainly not running through James Harden either. I need to make sure that everybody looks the way they're supposed to. And that's hard with five guys who are very capable in the starting lineup, but I need to make sure everyone's a hell of a lot closer to that than they have been over the last 4 to 5 years. I need every ounce I can get out of this. And I think LeBron is the only player that is going to be on this team who is going to be able to deliver it. 216-474-0092. Is LeBron the number one option if he comes to Cleveland? Do you view him as the leader? You guys can jump in on that. Plus, we're going to get to the most pressing things said by our station's guest today. Coming up here at 740 on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on Overtime. Coming up at 8 o'clock. The East is certainly shaking up. I need to know, even if you get LeBron, where you think the Cavs ultimately fall. Again, you guys can chime in on that. That's coming your way at the top of the hour. But before we get to that, before we can get to the rest of the show, we do have to get to what is the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today. Let's go ahead and do it with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off, and we stay around the LeBron conversation because Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, covering the NBA, on today with Baskin and Phelps, and he had a bold take on where it aligned with LeBron and who he thinks would be the favorites to land the superstar.
I don't think Cleveland's the favorite here, and it's not anything to do with Cleveland, but, like, I don't know how the dynamic with Harden works. Like, I don't know how that goes. Like, does Cleveland, even with LeBron, have enough? And then you said they've lost Ellis, they've lost Wade. It's hard to say the Cavs have gotten any better. They have it. And you got James Harden's contract holding over you. Hey, I'll opt out, but hey, it's going to be benefit me. Hey, I'm going to do what's best for the team, but somehow I'm going to get more money out of this. So good luck with that. I mean, it didn't work out in the playoffs last year to nobody's surprise with Harden. So I'd say the Cavs took a step back, especially with the rest of the East. Most of the rest of the East taking a step forward.
I mean,
sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just think it's really hard at this point to say the Cavs have taken a step back. Like, is that really that fair of a take? Like, they lost Dean Wade and Keon Ellis. Like, are they worse today than they were at the end of the season? Sure. Let's not act like they all of a sudden became the Orlando Magic.
They haven't done anything.
Yes.
If they haven't moved, I don't think they've gotten better or gotten worse.
I think the rest of the East has started to ascend around them, and we're going to talk about it again coming up at 8 o'clock. But, like, you can't just look at them and be like, Cavs aren't the same team they were last year. No Dean Wade, no Keon. What are they going to do? Like, again, I'm concerned for the Dean Wade loss. We've talked about this across the week. I'm concerned about where defense lies, but nobody's smacking the panic button on the Cavs. Like, Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen are still here. That wasn't the entire argument from Lima, the fact that Donovan is here and that makes you a playoff team. So it's not like they've just disappeared. Everyone's like, they might be a play-in team right now. No team with Donovan Mitchell is going to falter out into the play-in. They might get the sixth seed, but they're not going to falter out into the play-in. They're just not that bad. And the fact of, all of a sudden, the Cavs aren't good enough to land LeBron. They're not the favorites. Who in the hell is? I mean, sure, if you want to go play in New York, anybody feel like New York's the favorite right now? Because I sure as hell don't. Like, if that's not enough talent for LeBron to be like, I'm a little interested. But all of a sudden, I mean, 65-year-old Steph Curry and Draymond Green playing with three limbs is going to be enough to draw people in.
I think Philly's getting a lot of love right now.
I think people are out of their damn minds. We're going to tell you that at 9 o'clock, what I think why people are out of their minds when it comes to Philly and LeBron. Doesn't make any sense to me. But again, do you have to tell me that you think it's a 75% chance LeBron comes here? No, we talked to Danny Cunningham yesterday. He said it was about a coin flip. I feel like everybody's pretty much somewhere near a coin flip right now. Like, I think Danny agreed with this, but I tilt very slightly towards the Cavs. I still think the field, which is probably largely in favor of the Warriors, is out there. But if you're not even going to tell me they have an even shot, but all of a sudden what they're building out in Golden State with no Anthony Davis, so it's going to be LeBron, Steph Curry, Draymond, and Kristaps Porzingis is better than what the Cavs have built. Yeah, good luck. I have my own questions when it comes to James Harden and LeBron functioning on the floor together. I just told you, I think LeBron needs the ball in his hands. I don't know what the hell James Harden's going to do. Because off-ball James Harden is the equivalent of, I'm going to go stand in the corner. Okay, and I'm not moving. Like, there is no off-ball cut coming from me. If you think I'm about to turn into Max Strus, you got another thing coming for you. I don't know how that works, but damn it, find a way. I could make the same argument. Steph's not going to become Sam Merrill. He's not just going to stand over there and wait for a ball to be thrown into the shooter's pocket and then let it loose. He's also going to need the ball in his hands. So I think you have questions with where a lot of players line up. I think you have a lot of questions around the way the entire dynamic of the team fits. And let's not act like LeBron can't play off the ball. He did just play with Luka, and they were rather successful while doing it. Like, they didn't go out and win an NBA Finals or anything, but they were very competitive in the East and playing just fine. All right, let's keep it going. Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report on with Afternoon Drive. Stepping up to combat Gary himself, saying that he thinks the Cavs have enough.
The Cavs have a really good roster right now. It's not like they have to go out and get a Donovan Mitchell. You don't have to go out and get an Evan Mobley, a Jared Allen. Like, this is a good roster as is. Yeah, you lost a couple pieces in free agency, but if you plug LeBron on the Cavs, I think they have as good a roster as anybody in the East. So I don't know that they need to make a big move, but certainly not doing anything to this point probably hasn't helped their chances.
Now listen, LeBron's not dumb. Everything that he bases around is not how much talent can I go play with. There's a fit aspect to that. But go ahead and find me a lineup in which LeBron has never fit into. Guys, this is my point. LeBron at 40-something years old still fits into every single lineup you go into. So yes, a lot of it is about talent, though. When you play alongside LeBron, it is how much talent are you surrounding me with. I think Greg's 100% right. What team right now do you put him on that has more talent than the Cavs do? Philly might be like your one argument. With Jaylen Brown, Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, VJ Edgecombe. It's a really nice team. I would say you have more proven talent here. I would also say I have, and crazy thing to say with the Cavs attached to it, but you have the more healthy talent here too. Like, I think a big pull of coming to play in Philly is the idea that you play next to Joel Embiid. LeBron's going there with the understanding that he's not playing next to Joel Embiid for about 70 of the 82 games plus the playoffs. Like, I have to accept the fact Joel's not going to be there. Even when we got to the playoffs this year, he was sporadically missing games and missing the beginning of their series. So you're not really playing alongside of him. I don't think anywhere else you're going is going to be supremely more talented. I don't think Golden State's more talented, and they're in the West. If this roster isn't good enough, then LeBron never wanted to be here. It had nothing to do with the roster and the talent that's on it. This is all of the talent you could possibly ask for. You have guys that are capable of scoring. You have probably the best center that LeBron will have ever played next to in Jared Allen or Evan Mobley. Both of those guys, probably the two best big men he's been alongside. Oh, Anthony Davis is in that conversation. He wins. Chris Bosh probably wins that conversation in his prime. So you could take Evan out of it. But when it comes to true five, Jared Allen might actually win that battle. I mean, who the hell is he competing against?
See?
Yeah, I mean, it's bad to say that Jared Allen is more proven than Z ever was.
LeBron's got a soft spot for Varejao.
He does, but I'm not comparing Anderson Varejao to Jared Allen. He's not winning that battle. Hey, listen, I love the fro. I mean, Varejao is obviously a big part of my childhood in those Cavs years. Jared Allen's a better player, okay? I mean, one, crazy hair game from Cavs 5, man. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Over the years that we've had, just crazy hair game. The flow is unreal. But Jared Allen wins that battle. He's supremely talented, what Anderson Varejao was, even though Varejao was solid in his time here. Still, battle goes to Jared Allen by a pretty long shot. Might be the true five that he plays next to that is legitimately better. So I just don't think that there is an argument to be made legitimately that this team doesn't have enough talent. They're not good enough. They're falling behind in the East. I don't know how you even get to that assumption. Like, the East is still, it's better this year. It is getting stronger. I'm not going to argue with that. The Cavs with LeBron are still very much so in the mix and supremely talented compared to everyone. And I see a LeBron team just go absolutely soft and not rise to the occasion in the playoffs. Well, I'll believe that day when I see it. All right, let's talk a little Browns. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on with Ken and Anthony this morning. And she talked about the treatment Deshaun Watson would get at quarterback and how it could be a benefit to one Shedeur Sanders.
Deshaun will probably be more well-received on the road than he will be at home. There could be a bit of a hostile environment at home if he's starting and Shedeur is over there on the sidelines. So we'll have to see how that plays out. And I think we'll get a little bit of a taste of it in preseason because I think both of those guys probably will play some in those home preseason games. But for Deshaun to start perhaps 6 of the first 9 on the road, that could really work in his favor and might work in the Browns' favor at that point. And who knows? I mean, if it works out that way, maybe it would even be better for Shedeur to sort of hang back a little bit, get the lay of the land, see how things are going to work out the kinks in the offense, and then come in at some point during the season. But I have no idea if it's going to work out that way. Shedeur could easily win this starting job. I don't want to say easily, but I mean, he is right in the thick of it. He has a bona fide chance to win the starting job.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know how I stand on the idea that Shedeur benefiting from sitting. I don't think there is a way that you benefit from not having a 17-game arsenal with the chance to prove yourself right now if you're Shedeur. You need every single game that you can. I think the one thing that's absolutely true with inside of this is the fact that Deshaun would be better received on the road than he is at home, and I don't think he'd be well received on the road either. Again, at this point, the rest of the NFL just does not like Deshaun Watson. I mean, they have all their reason with everything off the field, allegations sitting around there to have that opinion. I would say most of Cleveland doesn't. We heard the cheers when a guy's getting carted off the field. Like, that happened. That existed. I think that, again, it doesn't necessarily factor into the decision, but you are putting yourself under a lot of fire if you make Deshaun the starter. That is certainly something that you are taking on, but I don't need Shedeur to learn the lay of the land. I don't need him the Browns to figure out the kinks in the offense before he gets in there. Battle through those. Like, again, this is not, can you be my bridge quarterback next year? This is, are you my franchise guy? If you're my franchise guy, you'll still find a way to look pretty good while you're figuring out the kinks in the offense. By the end of it, we'll say, oh, wow, Shedeur really has it figured out. You learned through the bumps in the road. I think you have to. Like, I always take the approach that I would rather figure out what's going wrong, how to improve things by actually doing it. Right? If you're going to tell me what not to do, I can use it, but I'm still going to make my mistakes. I can't tell you how many pieces of advice I've gotten in my career and then fallen into it. And I've been like, yeah, that was a good piece of advice, but I had to learn it for myself. it just happens, and I wouldn't take playing quarterback any differently. If you're going to figure out what goes wrong in the offense, I think if you're Shador, you have to be able to feel out that situation, see it with your own two eyes, be in the moment, and then figure it out. Watching Deshaun do it is not going to teach you how the offense works and what needs to be fixed. All right, last one here, real quick. Matt Underwood, Guardians TV, on with Afternoon Drive today, and obviously Guardians in action right now, but talking in the future. A trade deadline that a lot of people are describing the way that Matt does is tricky.
The problem, I think, is you look at this year's club right now, the way it's constructed, I don't know that there's just one piece that you can go out, take a big swing, get that one piece and say, okay, this is going to fix everything. And so, you know, I think that's the quandary that any front office finds itself in. If you're one or maybe two pieces away and you feel like you've got the capital to swing a trade and go for it, why wouldn't you? You know, I think the starting pitching's been phenomenal. I mean, those five guys have done an outstanding job of doing what you asked guys to do, which is give us a chance to win on a nightly basis. They've done that. But I think you could definitely use another power arm to help leverage late inning games in the bullpen. So there's one piece. And then, you know, offensively, where do we start? I mean, now if Jose comes back and he's Jose Ramirez of old, that solves one big problem. But I think there's definitely a case to be made that this team needs another impact bat or two to really get them over the hump.
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt makes a really good point. If you just sat here and said, well, clearly the Guardians just don't have a good enough first baseman. I mean, I think we've seen the organization do this previously, right? I mean, we talk about 2016 and the Andrew Miller trade. It was like, wow, you really need a pitcher at the back end of your bullpen. This team would feel really good if you had that. What did they do? They ponied up and they went and got a pitcher at the back end of their bullpen. But right now, it's like, well, I have young players playing in the outfield that look pretty good. They're up and down. I got young players. I have Travis Bazzano, who's been up and down, but playing pretty well. He's not going anywhere. Shortstop, we think we have figured out. Catcher's odd. First base is a platoon and still an odd one. Like, you could upgrade in about eight different spots when it comes to this offense outside of Jose Ramirez if you wanted to. There are eight different locations you might be able to upgrade, maybe six. And you need bullpen help. And I don't know how many of the guys in the bullpen you legitimately trust right now. Do I trust Cade as my closer? I personally would say yes. Am I going to get up a setup man? Do I trust guys like Hunter Gaddis? Do I trust guys like Eric Sabrowski when he's eventually going to be healthy? I don't know that you have those answers. I don't know that you trust the pitching staff in its entirety in the starting rotation right now to be what they are, especially given injuries. There's a million ways that this could go wrong. And I think the triple injury day that you watched stack up with Jose Chase and Angel all showed you that oh wow, well, if one thing goes wrong and this team, which already wasn't really good offensively, really takes a plummet. I think the trade deadline is tricky. I think it's difficult to navigate. I think we will probably see the Guardians be a oddball team at the deadline. Yeah, we're buyers, but how big of buyers are we? And I hate that approach. It's disgusting and we have to live in it every single year. But, I mean, from an organizational standpoint, it's hard to argue against right now. All right. That'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here at 8 o'clock, where do you rank the Cavs in the East if they were to add LeBron as currently standing? How would you view them? 216-474-0092. Again, it's coming your way at 8 right here on The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.